Good morning, Warren.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm well. You're on your, well, a mammoth trip across the top end. Last time we talked, you were in Hervey Bay in Queensland. Whereabouts are you now?
We're in a little town called Onslow in the Pilbara region in Western Australia.
So that's what, 5 or more thousand kilometres?
Something like that, yeah. We haven't been mucking around, I guess.
What were the highlights of the trip across?
Lots of them, really. I think for me, outback Queensland was brilliant, around Longreach and Winton and Roma and those sorts of little towns that really helped shape Australia back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. The notion that Australia was built on a sheep's back, I don't think it's anywhere more apparent than around those parts.
Talking about the sheep's back, did you go to Kununurra?
Yes, we did, mate. We did. We didn't spend very long in Kununurra, but it's a beautiful town.
Did you go out to Lake Argyle?
We did. Went out to Lake Argyle. Unfortunately, it was just a day trip. We would have loved to have stayed there, but it's a very popular time up here at the moment. Still peak tourism season, so we couldn't get into any accommodation there.
The reason I mentioned Lake Argyle is that I remember I was working in Kununurra, actually put the first computers into hospital there back in the 90s. And I remember one day going out to Lake Argyle and the Durack household, yep. They were sheep farmers from Ireland, like a dynasty. And they moved the house up onto a hill, but all the outbuildings are still underwater and divers go down. But I remember spending 3 hours or so up at the Durack house, sitting out front with an elderly Aboriginal guy, and he was telling me the stories and the history of the area. It was kind of a memorable few hours to sit there and enjoy that kind of conversation.
Lake Petter, I think, is the largest artificial lake in Australia, and that comes in second, Lake Argyle. But we sat there for about 2 hours just having a picnic. It was just the surroundings were so beautiful, we didn't want to move.
And, of course, the Bungle Bungles are close there, and the Boab trees.
Yeah, plenty of blow-up trees. Didn't get into the Bungles, unfortunately, because it's four-wheel drive access, and I don't think the county would have handled the road too well, but, it's an amazing part of the country.
You're fundraising, of course, at this for people, families living with muscular dystrophy. How's the fundraising going?
A little bit slow at the moment. I think I've got to up my game as far as social media and getting content out. We're hoping to raise $50,000. I think as it stands at the moment, we're around about $2,500. So, we've got a way to go. But every dollar that we do raise goes straight to Muscular Dystrophy Tasmania. It doesn't go into funding the trip at all. And that allows them to keep doing their great work in helping the Tasmanian families that live with the effects of muscular dystrophy and other allied conditions.
You have a travel blog? You're keeping that up to date?
It's proving to be more difficult than we thought. There's a lot of places that don't have Wi-Fi access. We're kind of living it at the moment, and it's not leaving a hell of a lot of time to do the administrative side, I guess, if you like. I think we will probably need to slow down a bit now and take a bit extra time in places and make sure that we get time to sit down at the computer and enter all the stuff we need to enter into it.
If you're looking at various places and how they stand up from a disability and accessibility point of view.
Ablutions, blocks and things in caravan parks and various other places we've stayed around the place. Some have been fantastic, but the majority have been, for a disabled person, challenging to say the least. For me, because I've got weak legs, I need to sit down to get dressed and undressed. Results in me having to get undressed in a toilet cubicle, do a nudie run to the shower, have a shower and then reverse that process back to the toilet cubicle to get dressed. There's not a great deal of consideration for people that have mobility issues in a lot of these places.
You had issues with the price of petrol?
I think when we started talking about this, we budgeted it on about $1.50 a litre. That was obviously before Mr. Putin did his stuff and the price of petrol went through the roof. We paid just recently at Fitzroy Crossing on the way across $2.72 a litre. And I'd say the mean price for the last month has been well over $2 a litre.
In the smaller country places, the petrol price was always dearer.
We expected that too, especially in this part of the world where the towns are few and far between and services aren't what you'd expect in some of the larger places. So, we expected that we'd be paying a fair bit for petrol. I think the cheapest we paid so far was on the Gold Coast, which is about $1.53. And obviously, you know, Fitzroy Crossing was the high point at $2.72.
If people would like to donate to your funding for families living with muscular dystrophy, how do they do that?
We do have a website. As I said, we need to spend a bit of time on it to put in some of the places we've been over the last few weeks. But that's wobblyboots.com.au. And on that site is a button to push to go to a fundraising page, and people can certainly donate there. And as I said before, none of the money donated goes into the trip at all. It goes into doing things like buying hydrotherapy pools for kids that suffer from muscular dystrophy, and wheelchairs and all sorts of stuff, anything that a family might need.
Warren, thank you very much. We'll talk in 4 or 5 weeks' time, see where you are then.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate your support.
All the best.
Thank you.